Welcome to another Words to Mouth Quick and Wordy interview, a series of short, fast-paced conversations with authors about their lives and books. Today, we're speaking with Michelle Nicholson, co-author of I Break for Meltdowns, How to Handle the Most Exasperating Behavior of Your 2 to 5-Year-Old. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Exactly, Nicholson.
Oh, Nicholson. Okay. I saw that A in there. I just wanted to make sure. I was referred to your book from Erin of Manic Mommy, so I just kind of wanted to put a shout out to them because they are an excellent resource for moms of young kids. And I wanted to thank you for being on the show. First of all, I wanted to just maybe have you talk a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll get into the book if that's okay.
Sure, no problem. I spent about 8 or 10 years working on documentary films and public television before I got married and had kids. And pretty soon after I got pregnant, I realized that making films was not going to be compatible with raising a family. So I took some time off, and I was going through all kinds of infertility treatments, and I had to use IVF to conceive my first daughter, and then when we went for a second, we had triplets. So that was intense. We had 4 children under the age of 3 there for a while. And then when the triplets were 10 months old, I got miraculously, spontaneously pregnant with my son. I have only 1 boy. And yeah, so it's been a really intense learning curve.
I bet. That sounds crazy. Yeah, I saw some pictures of the kids on your website. Those are cute pictures of all the kids in car seats and everything. So it's quite a handful. Well, how did you link up with your co-author, Barbara O'Neill?
Right. Barbara O'Neill, she's the executive director of Arlington Children's Center, which is the preschool where all my kids went. And the thing about Barbara, she's 75 years old, and she's been doing her job for 30 years because she loves kids and family so much. Barbara always knows the right things to say to kids, and is always free to help out families with problems, not just at school, but stuff going on at home. And you just listen to Barbara talk to kids, and you think, why didn't I think of that? You know, how come I didn't say that when I was in that situation?
Right.
And then I thought, my gosh, well, you know, when Barbara retires, you know, what's going to happen to all her wisdom? So she was kind of the inspiration for me to write this book because I really wanted to archive all of her knowledge. And then we found out that we had a lot of similar ideas, and we put our heads together and came up with everything we could think of in terms of strategies and solutions.
It is really it's kind of like that what to expect when you're expecting book for parents of young toddlers, because you can open it up and any problem that you're having, it's all the way that you've got it, it's perfect because you can just find that specific problem and then you offer the solutions and some examples of, what do you call them? I'm trying to remember, it happened to me or something like that.
Oh, been there.
Yeah. Right. Those are great.
I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what I was trying to do. I was trying to make a reference guide, but I didn't want to call it that because it would be too boring sounding. So it really is. You look up the behavior, organized by behavior, not by generic developmental milestones, you know, but you just look under, won't get in the bathtub, and then you find your answer. Or you find your strategies, kind of a couple of different strategies based on the level of personality that your child has.
And that's a good point because I remember thinking, I've got 2 daughters and my kids are actually adolescent age now. But when they, you know, after I had my first daughter, I thought, well, I got this thing down, you know, I got this parenting thing down. And then when my second one came around and I tried the same strategies, they didn't always work. So that's a good point. You have to kind of tailor your parenting and that can be exasperating in and of itself.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges I have is trying to give each personality what it needs. Like I have 1 daughter who's really, really sensitive and shy. And any little thing that doesn't go her way can really get her upset. And she doesn't like changes. And she's a little bit more clingy. And then I have another daughter who's like, bring it on. You know, she likes to be in the center of attention. Actually, I have 2 daughters like that, very outgoing. And it's hard when you're trying to bring the whole crew forward when some of them linger behind and they need a little bit of special attention. And that can be really frustrating.
Yeah. Have you seen that show? Is it called John and Kate Plus 8?
John and Kate Plus 8. Yes. Yes,
exactly. I bet you can relate to that.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And people say, well, how do you do it? How do you do it? But you know what? If you had that many, you would do it too.
Are you real organized the way she is with, you know, she's pretty regimented with the way that she handles things.
Well, I think that I'm pretty structured, but probably not as structured as her. I try to keep boundaries like getting to school on time and going to bed at a reasonable hour. I like to keep those boundaries. And I like to have everybody sit down at the table together when we're eating. Mm-hmm. Or at least one parent, with the kids at the table just so we can, like, get together, you know, a couple of times a day. We know we're going to be together all in one place.
That's a good point, because I think that our generation specifically is really clued into not harming our child's self-esteem. But a lot of times we struggle with setting those boundaries. And a lot of kids, you know, you see them places, and this is, I'm going to have to sidetrack a little bit. I know that before I had kids, I would see kids losing it at the grocery store and think, oh my gosh, those parents are pushovers or whatever. And until you're a parent, you realize, no, that's not exactly it. But talk a little bit about how to set those boundaries. You do need that level of calm within your home, you know?
Exactly. There should be like a sort of a hierarchy of stuff you let your kids get away with or not, right? And you have to figure out what are those boundaries you really don't want to bend very often. Like bedtime, that's such a big one because everything flows from there, you know, like how you feel when you wake up in the morning the next day. So you have to figure out what those really handful of really important boundaries, and you need to be consistent and really set that precedent. And especially with things that are fuzzier, like things like whining, mm-hmm. and you know, the harping and the hounding. My son is going through that phase right now. He asks over and over and over and over, even after you say, no, we're not going to see a video right now. You have to set those boundaries too. But, you know, there's also this gray area where you can let your child do something that you wouldn't normally let him do every day, like have gum or have, like, the fluorescent colored cereal at the store.
Right.
And then, you know, there's a whole other infinite category of stuff they can just do and explore because they're kids. So it's tough. It's figuring out those boundaries and then really, really sticking to them.
You mentioned the word consistent, and that is, well, I can speak for myself, has been the hardest challenge for me because, you know, kids are relentless. Like you say, your son, they just keep on and keep on, and it's hard to know, you know, you get engaged or sucked into that dynamic before you even realize you've been saying no like five times. And
I think the scary part is when you actually have given in and you don't realize it.
Yes.
And you think, why is this behavior persisting? You know, have I been giving in the grocery store? You know, mm-hmm. you have to kind of be a little bit aware of whether you really do give in or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that you have to be an ogre, right? I mean, you should always offer alternatives, you know, like, no, you are not going to have this M&M's, but you know what? We can pick out some fruit leathers together. Or no, like today, this morning, oh my gosh, my son, he's going through this, he's crazed with videos, and we only allow one video a day. But he wakes up in the morning asking for videos, and, you know, I kind of want to have breakfast and stuff first. But he's saying it over and over and over. And finally, you know, one of two things, I could say, you know what, I've heard this enough. You know, you're really bothering me now that you're saying it over and over and over. I'm going to put you somewhere where you can say it, where you won't bother people around you. Put him in a time away room
uh-huh.
for a while. Or what I did was this morning, I brought out this huge box of unit blocks that they hadn't played with in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I dumped them out on the floor in the living room. And then he wasn't asking for videos anymore. He and his sister got involved in building a city. And I thought, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I have to know that he likes doing other things besides watching videos.
I wanted to talk a little bit about those been there's where one of the ones that stuck out to me was the when you get into the potty training. I wish I would have had this book because my daughter did that withholding her poop thing. And that really turned into a major problem. I mean, we had to go to the doctor and everything. So
Right. Same here. I have two out of my five children who had that big problem. And when my first daughter was going through it, we didn't have this thing called Glycolax where you get it as a prescription from your pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
But Glycolax is a really, really mild laxative, and it works extremely well, and it gives your child a sense of success, you know, like, okay, it really doesn't hurt to go. I would do that, start that at the first sign, you know, getting your pediatrician's permission, of course,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it gets to be a self-perpetuating cycle. It's really the pain, that perceived pain, that makes them afraid to go.
Yeah, and it's awful.
It's awful.
It is.
Awful because I made some mistakes with my first daughter where we kind of like held her down on the potty because we couldn't stand it any longer. You know, she was not eating. She was being cranky. She was getting very sluggish because she kept it in for like a week.
Mm.
And then it just turned into a battle, and that was not nice. That was not pleasant. So Glycolax to the rescue, obviously.
What are some of the other been there's or some other topics that parents that you think are like the hot topics or the hot problems that they have with kids as far as meltdowns?
Oh, meltdowns. I think sort of in general, it's not maybe not a situational thing, but it's when sometimes we're just so tired and we're out of creative ideas of responding to our kids.
Oh.
When if you meet inflexibility with inflexibility yourself,
yeah,
it's more explosive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we can, to the extent that we still have our energy and our ideas flowing, you know, we can try to work with our child when they're demanding something or when they're stuck in their trench, I won't do this, I won't do that. We can, if we have energy as parents, then we can come up with different ideas to get them interested and involved or distracted. But it's when we say things like, when a child says, I'm not going to school today, and we say, oh, yes, you are.
Right.
Anytime that you say, oh, yes, you are, you know you're in big trouble.
You're in for a battle.
You're in for a battle, right?
Right.
I mean, I think of what I've had to learn was responding like, oh, mm-hmm, I see. Okay, let's talk about something else.
As you're like helping them get dressed and moving them towards the door.
Right. I was like, okay, I'm going to change the topic and then kind of like back, you know, go backwards back into it at some point. But I'm not going to just say, oh, yes, you are wearing those clean pants today. Because
yeah.
I'm just doomed if I say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and then sometimes it's hard to really get in that place when you're, you know, you're in a hurry. You've got to be someplace like school or work on time. And
yeah, so exactly.
You do offer a lot of different, I mean, you even write down like almost like scripted things to say to your child to see, you know, different options. That's very helpful.
Right, and when push comes to shove, you're going to have to do the thing where, you know what, I got to leave the house in 5 minutes, set a timer, countdown from five. Whatever you do, you got to scoop up your child and go, even if it means they're screaming, even if it means you put their clothes they're supposed to be wearing into a little baggie and run out the door.
Mm-hmm. There was some, you had some good tips for kids in restaurants. Can you share those?
But one thing that's really helpful to do is like bring a little snack with you of cheese and crackers or something healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if for some reason you're waiting too long for your food and your kids are getting really restless, you can give them that snack. And you know what? If they end up eating that and not any dinner, so what? At least they ate something. I mean, as long as they joined you at dinner and sat there, talked to you, whatever, hey, you can just call that a meal. The other thing is always to bring a sippy cup for kids who are using sippy cups because it gets really disastrous with all the spills and glassware and stuff. Bring a snack, bring a sippy cup, you know, bring a book or bring some kind of drawing utensils. You hope that the restaurant has them, right? But
right.
You may not. So if you just bring some paper and some crayons with you, usually you can come up with some kind of diversion until your food comes.
Yeah, sometimes that can be like it's not even worth going out when the kids are real young and they don't want to sit for long and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You may have to take a break. You may have to just revisit that in a couple of months. You know, because children go through so many different phases where they're sometimes capable of sitting still for a while or sitting in the same place for a little while, and other times they're just not there yet.
Can you offer some advice? One of the things that I thought I liked about your book, I wish I would have had it back then, was your advice about kind of prepping people ahead of time. Like my situation was that my father got his feelings hurt when my daughter didn't want to hug him.
Right. And
it was really uncomfortable because I think a lot of kids are like that. They don't feel, you know, they're kind of afraid or whatever.
Right.
And you offered good tips in there.
Oh, right. If you could just talk to your relatives in advance a little bit and say, you know, Johnny is still really learning how to say hello and he still sometimes has shy feelings. So please don't take it personally if he doesn't hug and kiss you right away. You know, if you have time to say that in advance or if it really like happens in the moment where your child is turning away from your injured relative, you can say, Sally is still learning how to say hello. Something very brief like that. You know, you don't really, I think our tendency is to come down a little bit hard on our kids because, you know, why can't you just say hi, you know?
I know, you get embarrassed, you know, you feel like
yeah.
You understand that you can sense their level of being uncomfortable, and so it is good and so simple just to bring it up beforehand.
Right. And the other thing you can do is rehearse it with your child beforehand. That's actually the more effective way to go, because if you can do some role-playing at home and pretend, I don't know, maybe your spouse or your friend is the visitor coming, and then you can go through the motions of your child, how you can say hello. And if they're really, really shy, this is the great thing. This is the idea that Barbara had, and I love this, and it works with my daughter. It's just wave. You don't want to talk to the person? That's fine. Just give a little wave.
And oh, that's cute.
I think it's a great idea because, you know, you're not under so much pressure as a child to say something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, on a personal note, how do you balance life with five kids? How do you find any time for yourself?
Yeah, so much coordination with our helpers and our caregivers. I feel like from the moment the triplets were born, I was on the phone, like calling night nannies, calling people to interview, trying to figure out who, you know, getting recommendations from my friends. And I have to say, it's now getting a little bit less and less that I need to do that. Thank goodness after, you know, how many, 5 years.
Mm.
But I think it's a matter of coordinating. You know, you're a scheduler, basically, and I have to schedule time for myself. So I have two nights out a month where I go out with my friends, and one of them is a book club, another one's a movie club. So that's kind of my sanity. And then I try to go to the gym twice a week, and it's my little oasis because it's an all-women's gym, and I can just go and forget about everything for a while. And I personally think that exercise helps you cope with stress so much better. Not only does it help you even cope with depression and sleeping, but it makes me feel refreshed, like, okay, I come home, I can take on the craziness again.
I know, and it seems kind of counterintuitive, but it's true. You know, you exert that energy and you end up feeling so much better. It's kind of like Prozac, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. And I mean, it affects your sleep patterns, and it actually gives you more energy. That's what's sort of counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, lately I've been thinking a lot about the way kids used to be raised and how much maybe less energy it took for parents back when all we had to do was spank our kids.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or say, wait till your dad gets home, and then, you know, the dad comes home and gives them some wax with his belt. You know, like this threat of physical punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to, and I hear it from other people who are, you know, in a different generation. They say, yeah, that really worked for us, you know. Mm-hmm. It was that threat that, you know, I was going to be hurt. That kept me in line. And I'm thinking, wow, we have come so far from that. And what's the big difference? The big difference is that we know more about child development now and how their little minds develop and their self-esteem develops. But at the same time, it does require more work from the parent. You know, to be a kind of more gentle and tolerant parent, you do have to work harder.
I agree. I think it's definitely harder to be a parent nowadays because we sit down and we explain and,
right.
You know, we're clued into their feelings and all that. Well, what's next for you?
What's next for me? Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I do have dreams about writing another book, but this one about teaching girls math. When they're very young.
Oh, okay.
And it's not going to be about like teaching them didactically, but about getting their minds to work in ways that kind of approximate mathematical thinking, like starting out with like a little map that they can draw and follow for 4 years. My husband is a mathematician and so are his parents. And so they come up with a lot of great stuff for the kids. And I want to document what they're doing with our girls, and especially girls, right? I mean, I have this place in my heart for, you know, math and science to be part of my girl's life because it wasn't part of mine when I was growing up. Thought always to be sort of just a natural thing for boys to do. So I'm hoping that with this book, we get more mathematical type of thinking into our young children's lives.
I spoke with Jennifer Fox. She wrote Your Child's Strengths, and we had that conversation because I was just like that as a young girl. I just could not wrap my mind around math. And she was talking about how, you know, girls definitely learn differently. So that's great. I would love, I'd love for you to pursue that.
I think
it would be well received. And now, why don't you give your website address and any other way that maybe listeners could get in touch with you?
Oh, sure. It's ibreakfrommeltdown.com. And on the website, there's also a link to a blog as well.
How did you come up with your title of your book?
Well, the thing is, I really do break from meltdowns.
Okay.
And, when things are getting really out of hand in the back seat, you know, we have like 5 kids in car seats, and when it gets really, really loud and I don't settle down and I really have had enough, I just pull over and I put on the brakes and I just wait, open a magazine and I just wait. I don't even say anything. I just sit there like, oh, I could just sit here for hours reading my magazine. And then the kids get restless and they say, why do we stop? Can't we go? Let's go. I want to go home. I say, well, I'm not going to drive. I can't drive when there's so much noise in the back. I can't concentrate on driving. It's not safe. When you guys settle down, keep your hands in your lap, and I can go. And it takes a couple of minutes, but they do. They grumble and moan and
they
quiet down. So
I love it.
Michelle,
thank you so much for sharing your book, I Break for Meltdowns. It truly is a must-have for parents of young kids, and I think it's a great gift for new moms. And listeners, you can go to wordstomouth.com for more information about Michelle's book. I'm going to put a link there, and you can enter to win a free copy of I Break for Meltdowns. Call 206-309-7318. And leave a comment or suggestion, and make sure you check back often for more Words to Mouth quick and wordy interviews. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Take care. Until next time, everybody.